Welcome to the audio ministry of Grove Park Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. We pray you will be blessed by today's message.
I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Luke chapter 1. Again, let me encourage you to be with us tonight at 6 o'clock. We would love to see you in person, but if you are in the midst of your festivities, we would invite you to pause them at home and just join us for a brief while. And if you are here and you are not going to be here tonight, you can pick up your communion elements if you would like. They'll be in the missions room on your way out tonight, or today, excuse me. All right, Luke 1, would you pray with me? Well, Lord, we return to a text that we hear time and time again this time of year, and Lord, we may be prone to say, oh, this is just standard issue. I know this one. Move on. So help us to see new things today. Enlighten us by the power of your grace to learn new things from the text. May the word be alive to us. And may it not only be alive to us, but we may be alive to it, that we may incorporate it into our walk and we may go forth from this place changed into a new and more vigorous discipleship and service to you. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, we dealt with proclamation. And proclamation and the willingness to proclaim is very important. Just as vitally important, however, if not more so, is the necessity for proclamation to be fulfilled. We cannot simply be a people, to borrow a phrase from the modern vernacular, of thoughts and prayers. We must be a people who put feet and hands to our thoughts and prayers. A reminder to us all that on this night we will celebrate the Word. We will celebrate the Word, which is the mind, the thought of God. And we'll celebrate the fact that thought took on flesh and acted among us. And if we are to be as Christ calls us to be imitations of Christ in this world, we too must put on body to our thoughts and our actions if our proclamation is to be fulfilled. The question again becomes, how do we do that? Well, the story of the Annunciation here in our text in Luke this morning provides us the necessary road plan for taking those steps to making proclamation fulfilled. First, we must recognize that we can only do this through the presence of God in our lives. Look at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Beloved, it is not simply a trite expression. We must have the presence of God with us. And yes, that means that we should always be asking God to be with us. But we should also be cognizant of the fact that it is incumbent upon us to recognize where God is and join God in that location. We should not expect God to just follow us to wherever we want to go. We should find out where God is and go join God there. The text in no way, shape, form, or fashion this morning looks like Mary inviting God into her life and saying, "God, I'm about to go do this, come along with me." No, God says, "Mary, I'm with you, and this is where we're going." And beloved, in saying that and seeing who it is said to, you and I must understand that being where the presence of God is oftentimes where you and I are not, or where you and I think God should be. Because here the presence of God is with a poor, unmarried woman on the margins of society, overlooked and not thought about, and yet that's where God is. And as we have seen repeatedly, that's where Mary's son is always going to be. He's going to be with the people on the margins. In fact, he's going to say later on in his life, "You know, I was the one in jail. I was the one that was hungry. I was the one that was naked. I was the one that was thirsty. I was the one that was sick." And they said, "Lord, we didn't see you there." And he's like, "Yeah, I know. Because you were looking for the presence of God somewhere else." Beloved, our task is to understand that we can only fulfill proclamation through the presence of God. And that means that we don't just say, "Lord, come with me," but we say, "Lord, where are you? Give me eyes to see where you are, that I can go and join you there." Because then proclamation becomes fulfilled. But secondly, we should understand that proclamation is fulfilled through the power of God. Verse 34 says, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" And then in verse number 37, the angel says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." You know, beloved, you and I far too often fail to take Mary's approach. We'll do one of two things. We will get an idea in our brain, and we'll go and try to do it in all of our power and all of our strength. Notice the pronoun I use there. In all of our power, in all of our strength. Or we will hear the call of God in our life and we'll say, "Whoa, no, 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 no. That is way too big. You something got wrong. The satellites got mixed up or something. You don't intend me to do that. That is far bigger than I am. And so we say, because it is bigger than I can do, because it is bigger than anything I can imagine, I'm just going to sit down and I ain't going to do it. Now, beloved, that's horrible English on my part, but it is real life experience also. Lived out in my life and lived out in countless other believers' lives that I know. But, beloved, both of them, as you think about it, are wrong moves. They both end in a failure to fulfill proclamation. But when you and I recognize that we don't operate in God's in our power, but in God's power, then whatever seems impossible, we understand that with God all things are possible. We understand that through the power of God, things can happen that we don't understand how they happen. You know, I'm reminded of the words of the epistle. God calls those things that are not as though they are. Now think about that for a second. God calls those things that are not as though they are. So he says, yep, that right there is a giraffe. And you say, Mark, I don't see a giraffe. You know what, beloved? I don't either. But God can say, there's a giraffe, and boom, there's a giraffe. Which means that God makes ways where you and I don't understand that there are ways. God makes paths that you and I can't even begin to discern. God can move and make things that seem absolutely unimaginable, not just imaginable, but reality. And so when we look at the impossibilities that our proclamation brings, we need to understand that they can only become actualities when we rely on the unimaginable power of God to fulfill them. And so that means we take ourselves out of the equation. We recognize that we take ourselves out and we say, okay, God, through your power, through your presence. But we should recognize one other important thing in this. And that is that rarely is it that God calls us to do things on an individual level. Notice verse 36. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. I don't think that Gabriel just throws in this little nugget to Mary just to, you know, spread gossip. I think Gabriel includes this little nugget for Mary because it seems to me entirely possible, based off of verses 24 through 26 of Luke chapter 1, that Mary didn't know yet. Mary didn't know yet about Elizabeth being with child. It's not like, you know, it's not like Elizabeth sent out an email and said, please come to the not gender reveal party. Because we don't have all that technology right now, so we can't have a gender reveal, but we'll just come party. You know, and there's poor Zachariah there sitting there mute. He can't say a word about it. His name's John, it's gonna be a boy. No, he can't pull that off. I don't think the word has got to Mary yet. But I do think, beloved, that in sharing this news to Mary and then saying, you know what, Mary? If God can make it happen in a barren old woman, he can make it happen in a virgin, because nothing is impossible with God. And beloved, communal knowledge oftentimes is a great thing to spur us on. We need to understand that community action can move us and push us, because we can say to ourselves, well, if they did it, I can do it. If they did it, I can do it. I was speaking to a friend this week who lost, a couple years ago, in a tragic car accident, her son-in-law, an 18-year-old grandson. And in the course of the conversation, she said to me, she said, Mark, I don't know how it got through. He said, but I remember something that Eliza said when you all lost your baby. She said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. She said, and I keep coming back to that. Because if she could say that day, then you know what? God bless me with Micah and Mitch, and God will keep blessing me. Now, beloved, that's communal knowledge at work. That's someone hearing someone else testify of the goodness of God in the midst of unimaginable and unbearable sorrow and saying, you know what? God brought them through. God can take me through. Never, ever, 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 ever underestimate the power of communal knowledge. And that is why, beloved, we are called to live in community. Christianity is not supposed to be for lone rangers. Christianity is supposed to be lived together. That's why Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote Life Together, because we do it together. But also note that it's important because community help and living communally brings thought to action, right? Mary, later in this chapter, will go to Elizabeth during Elizabeth's third trimester. Now, I've never been pregnant. I've had kidney stones, but I've never been pregnant. Should say have. But I've been around enough pregnant folk to know that the third trimester is sent practically straight from hell. Can't move, miserable, nothing wears right, nothing goes right. Hormones are a mess. And Elizabeth is going through this in her old age for the very first time. So imagine being pregnant in the third trimester with arthritis and backaches. And what's Mary there to do? Help. Mary's there to help. And you know what? Mary stays for 3 months and she leaves just before John's born, and she goes back, and probably during that entire time, nobody knew that Mary was expecting, because it's real early on. And so Elizabeth will know. Their two boys will communicate with each other in the womb when Mary walks in. But guess what? They're there helping each other. Elizabeth, the old woman, is telling young Mary, you know what? This is going to be hard. This is what you need to expect. This is what you're going to go through. But here you go. And she's helping her along. Meanwhile, young Mary, who's still spry and can do all those things that arthritic Elizabeth cannot, she's there helping her along the path, because that's what community does. And community brings proclamation to fulfillment. Thirty-four years ago, right now, it was the community of faith. It was the community of faith in Romania that said that there is no way on earth we are going to be silent that brought about the overthrow of the Romanian government. It was the church. It was the church that testified to its faith loudly. And it's the church that brought proclamation to fulfillment in Romania. It's the same expectation today, beloved, upon us, that we can take proclamation communally and bring in the fulfilled promises of God to our world. We are to be mutually helpful to one another, to say, yes, you can go, yes, you can do, yes, I'm here supporting you, I've got your back, I've got your side, I've got your front, I've got whatever you need me to get, I am here, let's go, let's do it. It's how you get to the point of last week where it's time, go, 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 and you say, we can do this together. That's the story of Mary and Elizabeth. But it really does, though, come back around to an individual level. Because fulfillment also, we should note, has to come with servant willingness. Verse 38 says, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. Servant willingness, beloved. Not just willingness, serving willingness. You know, there's a distinction there. Everybody can say they are willing to do something. Of course, I'm willing, Lord, send me wherever you want me to go. Lord, do with me ever as you see fit, as Mary says here. And then God says, okay, this is what I want you to do. And you go, yeah, well, everything but that. That's not willingness, beloved. I mean, that's not servant willingness. That's just willingness. You know, willingness you can lie your way out of. Servant willingness says, I am yours to do with as you see fit, Lord. Wherever you want to go, I'll go. Whatever you want to do, I'll do. I recognize, as Mary does here, that there are going to be radical changes in my life, and I am ready to put it all on the line. I am sure that Mary thought to herself in this moment, yes, I might lose out. I might lose all sorts of things. I might lose Joseph. She knew how Joseph was. And yet she said, I am willing to do it. God, direct me. You know, the anthem this morning is a beautiful anthem. It is filled with many beautiful pondering questions. But in my opinion, Mary knew. Mary most assuredly knew. And that's why Mary could say, yes, I'll do it. She might not have known that her son was going to feed five loaves and two fish, 5,000 people. She might not have known that her son was going to walk on the water. But let me tell you what, she knew that her boy was the Son of God. And she knew that it was the fulfillment of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of proclamation. And so she was willing to say, yes, I will do it. I will be the Lord's servant, because the proclamation must have someone who is willing to step in and make sure that it is fulfilled, and I will be the one to do it. Because she knew in the depths of who she was that the proclamation, the word of God that had gone forth, had to be fulfilled. And she was willing and ready to jump on it. Beloved, you and I don't always get to pick and choose. Sometimes we do. But there are opportunities that God presents us on a regular basis, and we ignore them because we don't see God's presence there. We ignore them because we don't think we have the power to do them. We ignore them because we're not thinking communally. We ignore them for any number of reasons. And in doing so, we do not display servant willingness. We display willingness. And in the distinction, we miss the blessing of God. We miss it entirely. Congregations miss it. Denominations miss it. The entire church in America, in my opinion, right now is being given 100 different opportunities by God to do things and speak the word of God in our world, and they say no. Because it don't look like we want it to look like. It doesn't act like we want it to act like. It doesn't sound like we want it to sound like. It doesn't fit all of our nice criteria. I told somebody a while back, I said, you got to be real specific with God sometimes. And they say, what do you mean? I said, well, I prayed when we were at Enfield that God would just make us a church on fire. And literally the church caught fire. Literally, $500,000 worth. When we were at Sandy Branch, I said, oh God, I just want to move north. Just send me north. Alamance County is directly above Chatham County. Beloved, you cannot simply say, Lord, I am willing. You got to say, Lord, I will. I will. You ask it, I'll do it. Now, as you do that, beloved, understand that you're going to need two final things in abundance. You're going to need grace. You're going to need a lot of grace. Grace is clearly something that the text tells us that Mary had. The angel says, oh, favored one. She says, the angel says, you have found favor. Favor is literally the word for grace. Mary, oh, graced one, you have found grace. You will need grace, beloved. You will need the unmerited favor of God to help you to make it through what it is that God is going to call you to do. Because it will be difficult at times, and you might have to put a smile on when you don't want to. But when you do, beloved, it should be such that the whole world sees that it is not an act, but it is your life flavored with grace. You know, I think part of the reason why the world doesn't think anything about Christianity is the fact that we do not live grace-filled lives. I'll go back to the choir this morning. I looked up at the choir as they were singing the opening worship set. And they were smiling. I mean, they looked genuinely happy. And I was sitting on the third pew, frumpy. And I looked at them and I thought, man, I wish I could feel like that right now. Instead, my arm hurts, my kidney hurts, my back hurts. I don't feel any of that, but you know, looking at them made me want it. Beloved, if we live grace-filled lives, not only will it help us make it through the difficult things that God's calling us to, but it will have others want to join us in that. But it's also important because grace is necessary to enable us, because it enabled Mary, to make it through the long haul. Our Catholic brothers and sisters have the right idea on this. We do not. Because there is a holiday in the Catholic Church that Baptists don't celebrate. It's March 25th. Well, what is March 25th? What's so important about March 25th? Well, do the math. March 25th was 9 months ago. What happens in 9 months? Babies. You see, this conversation that we're listening into here this morning with Gabriel and Mary didn't occur on Christmas Eve. It didn't occur in the month of December. It occurred in March. And we mess it all up because we only look at it in December. But we don't think about the fact that Mary had to get from March to Bethlehem. Now, we'll talk about the arduous trip Mary had to take to Bethlehem, and we'll talk about the fact that Joseph didn't use Priceline and get a reservation for them at the inn ahead of time, and we'll talk about all those things. We'll talk about the fact she had a donkey with no shocks to ride. We'll talk about all of that, beloved, but understand that this night does not begin this morning. This night begins 9 months ago. She had to make it through 9 months of people whispering. She had to make it through 9 months of pregnancy in a world that didn't have Cone and Chapel Hill and Duke and Wake Forest. She had to make it through 9 months without prenatal care and all the fancy things that they do to let you see the baby now. She had to make it through 9 months. At some point in there, she thought she's about to lose Joseph. 9 months. Beloved, sometimes it takes a while for proclamation to be fulfilled. Because proclamation occurred on March the 25th, according to how we date things. But it's fulfilled in Bethlehem tonight. And you need grace to get through those long stretches of proclamation. Because we live in a wonderful world where we live in yes and we wait. The kingdom of God is here, but we wait for its final culmination. Yes, we have eternal life. But first we have to throw off this earthly coal to put on immortality. You see, the whole Christian life is about perspective. And so, beloved, this morning, do you have the right perspective? Do you have the right perspective so that you're resting in the presence of God and in the power of God with a willing heart to go where God says and are living a life that is so grace-filled that it looks like you are dripping with milk and honey because you are constantly on the lookout because there's going to come a day, beloved. There's going to come a day in your life, in my life, and it's not the day when we die. It could be this afternoon. It could be tomorrow. It could be sometime next week where it will no longer be a drill, but it will be showtime where all the words that you have said finally have to be lived out. And you got to be ready. You got to be ready to say, yes, Lord, I'll go seize that opportunity. Yes, Lord, I'll go to where you want me to go. Yes, Lord, I'll work with the ones you tell me to work with. Yes, Lord, we as a body are ready to go and ready to do. We're kingdom driven. We're grace centered. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we've already been working in the places where the world has forgotten. And so, Lord, we will go now and join you already where you are at. We will go. Beloved, it's not a drill. It's not a drill. It's time to go. It's time to go. Mary was ready. Mary was ready. Are you? Let's pray. Lord, some of us have been waiting for a mighty long time for something that you have proclaimed to be fulfilled. And Lord, I pray that it would just go ahead and give birth. I pray we're ready for it and we're ready to do it. But Lord, I pray that for so many today, you would say, this is not a drill. And Lord, for those for whom the time has not come for it to be fulfilled, call them highly favored by pouring grace into their life more than they've ever felt before, that they can seize your opportunities and run into your abundant hope. Until that day where expectation and preparation and proclamation find fulfillment. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. Please note our schedule has been revised as of April 2021. Please join us on Sunday mornings for worship at 10 o'clock in the sanctuary at 108 Trail 1 in Burlington, or on Facebook Live. For more information and resources regarding our church, please visit groveparkchurch.net. And remember, grace abounds. Thank you.